From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. I'm Abby Larico. It's Wednesday, April 1st, April Fool's Day. No, it's actually Wednesday, April 1st, but it's also April Fool's Day. So here's your reminder to be skeptical of the things that you see online today. It's a big one for practical jokers. And speaking of the internet, internet regulation is a big topic in the Missouri General Assembly this session. Some free speech experts are concerned that the proposed new laws could lead to a government-controlled internet.
I am forced to do something that is a form of speech compulsion. That should be unconstitutional. It's prior restraint. But the court doesn't see it that way.
Details on the proposed regulations for AI and age verification in Missouri coming up after this news on The Gateway. A vote on a proposed data center and technology district in Midtown near the vacant Armory building was delayed yesterday at the behest of Mayor Kara Spencer. Members of the Board of Public Service were set to vote on the project with a do pass recommendation from the Conditional Use Board. The approval would allow the $3 billion project to move forward. Spencer, though, says the city needs more time to put in place meaningful rules for data centers.
You know, it's our intention to make sure that we have a process here, a thoughtful process, and one that protects the community.
Currently, city officials are considering a zoning framework for data centers. It would limit where data centers can be located within the city and add strict requirements for applications, construction, and operation of the projects. St. Louis leaders have debuted a new data portal that they say will make it easier for residents to follow the progress of city repairs and ongoing services. CityStat measures the completion of city services, including tree removals, pothole repairs, water main repairs, and garbage collection. Ben Johnson, the city's director of operations, says this data is an important first step to show improvements and ways to improve city services.
We're going to continue to provide updates on the results that you have available today in the next quarter, while deliberately expanding the department and division level data sets that are available on our CityStat webpage.
Data from 9 departments are public. City leaders say next steps should include prioritizing preventive repairs. The window for people to file to run in Missouri's August primary election is now closed. The biggest shift in the last week of filing came in the race for Missouri's 6th congressional district. Incumbent Representative Sam Graves' departure prompted several Republican candidates to run for the North Missouri-based seat. Just before the filing period ended at 5 p.m. yesterday, there was one big surprise in a St. Louis County race. State Senator Angela Mosley will join Democrats Brian Williams and Jake Zimmerman in the contest to succeed St. Louis County Executive Sam Page. And Bill Eigel and Jason Law will seek to unseat incumbent St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman. Missouri's August 4th primary will also feature several competitive races for open Senate seats in St. Louis and St. Louis County. Missouri Attorney General Catherine Hanaway is suing a leading distributor of kratom. St. Louis Public Radio's Lily Halloran reports the lawsuit is over a specific version that Hanaway says is as addictive as opioids.
Hanaway's suit against the Kansas City company CBD American Shaman takes aim at a highly concentrated compound taken from kratom, commonly known as 7-OH. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration says it is 13 times more potent than morphine. Hanaway says the company failed to properly disclose the effects of 7-OH.
What they've said is it's non-addictive and it's non-intoxicating, and they're giving away free samples of a highly addictive product, and they're advertising all over the place.
Proponents say it has helped people with pain management and opioid withdrawals. American Shaman owner Vince Sanders says the company will fight the lawsuit. In Jefferson City, I'm Lily Halloran, St. Louis Public Radio.
Some Missouri lawmakers are making the case to break up the state's electric utility monopolies. At a press conference yesterday, Wentzville Republican Representative Tricia Burns said her constituents' electric bills keep rising, and she says that's partly due to ineffective state regulation of corporate energy companies.
Our whole country was founded on taxation without representation. This is still the same thing, only this is in the form of rates.
Burns says creating a competitive electricity market could curb price hikes. If passed, a bill before the state legislature would make Missouri utilities sell their power plants, allowing private companies to enter the market and buy them or build new ones. Eventually, customers could choose a power provider from multiple options. But Jason Clint represents corporate utility Evergy and told lawmakers Tuesday that commercial and industrial customers do fine in energy markets, but he says it's a challenge for the average person.
Your constituents, usually the poor and elderly, will be the ones left to sort through competing claims and offers to try and keep their lights on.
More than a dozen states currently allow for a competitive electricity marketplace. The new hospital at Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri's Ozarks will begin serving patients next week. St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan Aull reports.
The new facility includes more than 225,000 square feet of hospital and clinic space, including three operating rooms and level 3 trauma emergency facilities that can handle events, including mass casualty response and decontamination. St. Robert Mayor James Breckinridge says the $400 million facility is a good sign for Fort Leonard Wood's future.
The hospital does add to that, right? I mean, it is an important tool in the aspect of we're growing, and we're going to continue to grow, including outside of Fort Leonard Wood as well.
The new hospital replaces its 60-year-old predecessor. Construction has taken longer than initially planned, starting in June 2020 with a projected opening 2 years ago. I'm Jonathan Aull, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis is in the running to secure a James Beard Foundation honor this year. The culinary organization announced the nominees for its 2026 awards Tuesday morning. Three local spots are up for awards in nationwide categories. Vicia in the Central West End is on the list for Outstanding Restaurant. Robin in Maplewood is a nominee for Best New Restaurant. And Louie in Clayton is nominated for Outstanding Hospitality. Nominees for Best Chef Midwest include Lauren Knowledge of Balkan Treat Box and chef and restaurateur Nick Bogner of Sato and Pavilion. The winners will be announced in June. Energizer Park won't be hosting matches during this year's World Cup, but St. Louis City SC has big plans for its home pitch. Yesterday, the team announced its schedule for a summer of soccer. It will host watch parties at Energizer for all U.S. men's national team games, as well as for the World Cup final. There will be community soccer events at local landmarks like the Arch Grounds. And City SC is partnering with a local sports league to host a youth soccer tournament. The championship games will be played on the Energizer pitch. City SC's president and general manager says the events will help get more people interested in soccer. Missouri legislators are debating several bills that could change the way people use the internet. As Bella Zielinski reports, it's a tricky balance for the Republican-controlled legislature, as the bills introduce more protections for minors, but could also allow for more government regulation of internet spaces.
Emerging issues will now come to order. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Chairman Crist.
Here.
Lawmakers are concerned the explosion of artificial intelligence tools capable of fabricating images and videos in seconds bring with them new harms, specifically for minors. Laws introduced this session would criminalize generating or distributing content of minors in intimate contexts. It's the type of regulation that may once have inspired free speech challenges for its content-specific basis. But the mounting capabilities of AI tools have reframed the necessity of regulating harmful fake content. Ryan Dury is the co-director of the Washington University Law AI Collaborative. He says rather than attempting to rewrite current internet regulations altogether, lawmakers could more narrowly tailor their efforts to what content should be filtered out.
And think through where they want to intervene and what that intervention costs society versus what, again, they're going to stop. If it's just all image generation technology, that might be pretty draconian, you'd argue. But is there specific interventions of what you make that we go after?
Those in support of the regulations believe society has already decided on which interventions to allow. Byron Keelan, president of conservative advocacy group Freedom Principle Mo, sees the regulation of AI content as an evolution of revenge porn laws that grew out of the rise of instant messaging in the early 2000s.
Now we're talking about using AI, showing them being engaged in a criminal activity or a sexual activity that's not true, creating really irreparable harm.
But AI isn't the only digital phenomenon concerning lawmakers. In December, Attorney General Catherine Hanaway enforced a rule requiring major purveyors of adult content to ask for proof of ID for access to the content. This has already driven some major adult entertainment sites to block Missouri users. Now, bills have been introduced to fully put Hanaway's action into law. Critics argue age verification laws could lead to hacking and identity theft, but advocates like Keelan take solace in bill language that blocks third parties from retaining any data.
This does have a third-party system, and they're not to retain that information. And if we find out, then there are, I believe, provisions in this bill that would hold them accountable.
So when you go through that age verification process, you're subject to whatever terms on the data they collect on you that exist for the third-party provider.
That's University of Minnesota journalism professor Christopher Terry.
And if you read those terms of service, that includes monetization of the data that they collect on you.
Terry says age verification opens the door for repressive regulations by the government.
All the government has to do is prove a substantial government interest and have a rational reason for its approach.
And could be the beginning of a government-controlled internet in ways historically seen as unlawful.
I am forced to do something that is a form of speech compulsion. That should be unconstitutional. It's prior restraint. But the court doesn't see it that way anymore. And again, we just haven't caught up to that new reality yet. But we're getting there. We're getting there.
Two Missouri House bills regulating AI-generated intimate depictions of minors have passed committee but have not been heard by the full House. The leading age verification bill has moved from the House to the Senate.
That was Bella Zielinski reporting, with a story coming to us from member station KBIA in Columbia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.